Hello.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Show Talk with Angela Butler, and Happy New Year. My name is Angela Butler. I'm here to inform, entertain, and enlighten you, the listening audience. So let's learn something tonight. I'm here every Monday, and we'll also be here Thursday, January 5th at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm glad to have the listening audience listening to my show. Tonight we have with us as a guest Mr. Daryl Moore. Daryl Moore is an actor. He has played in Two and Two and Lottery Ticket, among numerous other things. Tonight we're going to start the show off with recommended reading. Recommended reading tonight is by author Les Davis, The Power of the Lord is My Strength, which can be found on Amazon.com. Also, we're going to talk about what's happening in our world today. As we all know by now, Conrad Murray was found guilty in the Michael Jackson case. So that's news. That's newsworthy. Also, from the positive note, for some positive, according to Marble Manning, a writer for Race, Poverty, and Environment, which is taken from Urban Habitat online magazine, 4 million blacks now hold a bachelor's degree. The statistics I'm about to name were taken from the journal Blacks in Higher Education. These represent 18.5% of all blacks 25 years and older. That's 4 million blacks. So that's wonderful, everyone. That's wonderful. 4 million African-Americans are black people who have went on to get bachelor's degrees. That's wonderful. All right. Next, I'm introducing Mr. Daryl Moore. Hello, Daryl Moore. Are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you doing?
Hi, how are you? It's good to have you on the Angela Butler show.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Happy New Year to you.
Same to you.
Same to you. It's a pleasure to have you on my show, and I'm sure my listening audience will agree.
I would hope so. I really do.
Oh, okay. Daryl Moore, what is your New Year's resolution for this year?
To get my film project on the big screen. I'm working on my first film project. I completed the script, and I'm working on the business plan and the budgeting now, so I'm hoping to begin filming on that this year, and hopefully I'll have it on the screen by the end of the year.
Oh, that's wonderful. Do you have a name for your film?
Yes, it's called Invisible Man. It's about my life story. You can see some information about it on Facebook if you type in Invisible Man, and also on my website, moore.com, and you go to the 4.5 film tab. I have a little video playing, a little promo video playing about my film project.
Okay, so you are a director and a writer. Okay, that's wonderful. I have a question. Why did you decide to become a comedian? Who inspired you?
Well, I've always been a fan of Richard Pryor. And Red Fox and Miles Maybelline, and people like that. My brother had a lot of their albums, and I would sit in my room when I was younger, and I would listen to them. And one day when I got older and I was living in Atlanta, I was sitting to myself. I was watching TV late one night. I said, well, I think I can do that. I want to give it a try. And I called a local DJ. He was hosting an open mic around town, and he agreed to let me give it a try. And things went from there. It went pretty good, and I started developing a following, and I went from there, and I started hosting my own nights around town, and that's how I got started.
Oh, okay. All right, Atlanta, Georgia. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Why acting? Why acting? Why did you choose acting? I mean, you're a comedian also, but why did you go into acting? What inspired you to do that?
I just love entertaining. I love that whole entertainment field, and it was just a natural progression. Most people that do comedy eventually go into acting, and it was just an obvious next step for me. I've always had a dream of doing stuff like that when I was a child, and I just had that attitude. I look at something, if I want to do it, I say, why not? And I give it a try. Either it works or it doesn't. You know, either way, I'm satisfied because I at least tried, and things started working for me, and I just kept doing it.
Oh, okay, so you tried and you succeeded. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I look forward to seeing you get an Oscar one day.
I hope so. That's my goal. I just want to keep doing good work and just stay active. That's my goal. And if those awards come, I'm satisfied. And if they don't come, I'm still satisfied. As long as I'm getting good, steady work and I'm doing positive things, it's fine with me. I just enjoy what I do.
What is your college educational background?
I attended Tuskegee, but
what are they in?
I attended Tuskegee University. I have a bachelor's degree in political science, and I have a master's degree in education administration.
What did your parents think when you didn't, you know, with such intelligence and such great degrees? What did your parents think when you didn't go into that field?
When I first got out of college, I was working in my field. I did that for a couple of years, actually. I did it for almost 10 years. I started out in human resources, then I went from there, and I started working in the school system. And from there, that's when I got into comedy. So I started out in my field, and after I got divorced, I decided to just do the things I enjoy doing. And entertainment was a pleasure that I always wanted to go after. So I just did it. And I'm blessed to be able to make a living from it.
So I can tell by your tone of voice and everything that you are happy with your career.
Yes, very happy. I'm very happy with the direction my career is going. I'm making good contacts. I'm meeting good people. And I'm moving ahead. So I love what I do. I love what I do very much.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Hopefully, I'll still be making more projects, or I have more production on the screen. And I just want to keep going. So I want to get behind the camera more, so hopefully I'll be able to work in front of and behind the camera and write some more books and just keep going.
Okay, your author also. We'll get to that in a little bit. Who inspired you the most?
My parents, I would have to say. My parents always encouraged me to do whatever I wanted to do in life, and they always supported me, and they always had positive things. They always gave me positive reinforcement. They always put it in, instilled in me that if I trusted in God and I was willing to work hard, I could do anything I wanted. And that's something that a lot of kids are not getting these days, unfortunately. And with my own children, I try to reinforce that twice as much, because it's so important to have a supportive family. Not even if your parents are not in your life, if you're raised by your grandmother, your grandfather, your aunt, uncle, whoever's raising a child, it's important that they instill in the children that whatever you want to do, you can do it if you set your mind to it.
I agree with you 100%. I agree with you. Encourage your children. That's what Daryl Moore is saying. Encourage your children.
Always.
Always, yes. Yes. You have acted in 2 and 2, Lottery Ticket, the Onion News Network. Are there any other films that you have acted in or television shows that you have appeared in or worked in?
Yes, I've been in 23 film and TV projects. The 2-2 is a mid-season replacement show that CBS is putting on this year. It's going to come, it's going to be, some of the episodes are going to be released starting this year. It's Robert De Niro's executive producer, and that's one show. I've worked on Blue Bloods. That's another police show shot here in New York. Onion News Network, that's shown on the Independent Film Channel. I've been on their one episode. Hopefully they'll have me back to work some more episodes. Lottery Ticket, that was my first big break. Up until that point, I've worked on a lot of small independent films, and that's fine, but that Lottery Ticket was my big break that got me into the other thing. And
And you say you worked on Blue Bloods?
Mm-hmm. That's another police show that's on CBS as well.
Okay. Were there any other CBS shows that you have worked on? Because I've seen you on TV, on CBS, on some things, but I just want you to say them.
No, those are the only ones I've done so far since I moved to New York. I moved up here in March, and I've been working mostly on television, and I've worked on those two crime dramas, and I've done another film. I've done a few films over at New York Film Academy, some student projects, and I just shot a music video this past week, last Friday. So that was my first time doing a music video. It was a lot of fun. It was a rock group. And I had a good time doing that.
Oh, okay. I'm glad you enjoyed yourself. Are you at liberty to name the rock group?
No, not right now. They're still developing everything. But I was shocked that I was picked. I was the only African-American on set, so I was really shocked if they picked me. But I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'm looking real forward to it. And once it comes out, I'm going to post it all on Facebook so everybody can tune in, because I was really excited that I got picked.
Okay. All right. Well, it's
very well known.
Shocking to me, and probably to the people who are following your career and who are listening to this show, because you're a very talented actor. Very talented all the way around. What do you think of J. Anthony Brown of the Tom Joyner Morning Show? How did you meet him?
He's one of the reasons I started doing comedy. I was in a motorcycle club in Atlanta, and I was standing around at a fashion expo, and I was just cracking jokes with my friends. And they've been trying to say, man, you should do comedy, you should give it a shot. I'm like, no, it's different. Cracking jokes with your friends, being on stage, no, that's a whole different thing. And I was talking, and he walked up behind me, and he heard me. And he tapped me on the shoulder. He said, hey, have you ever done comedy before? I said, no, sir, I haven't. He said, well, you should. And he said, follow me, I'm going to talk to you. And he sat me down for about 20 minutes telling me, how to go about it and, what to do, what not to do. And I was shocked that somebody on his level would even take the time to talk to me. He was busy that day. He could have just kept walking because he was there he has a line of suits, and he was there to display his clothing line, and he just happened to be coming behind me, and he heard me, and he took it upon himself to give me advice. And I was like, I was real honored, and I took his advice to heart. The next week I got on stage.
Oh, okay. The next week you got on stage. Well, he did inspire you. Okay,
yeah,
you are very funny then. why did you become an author?
I had an English teacher in high school by the name of Janice Johnson, and she always encouraged us to write and express ourselves and do critical and analytical thinking. It's always been in me. And then my pastor, he's written a couple of books when I was in Atlanta. He's written a couple of books, and he one Sunday he said, if you want to write your own book, he said, everybody has a story to tell. And he said, just sit down and commit to writing a page a day, and you'll have a book done in a year or less. And then he had some people come in and tell us how to do it. And then I saw an episode of Oprah when she had Tyler Perry on, and she always stressed writing how writing helps heal people if you're dealing with some things, keep a journal. So that's what I started doing. I started jotting down my ideas, and then I got on my computer and I started putting it together, and I wrote my autobiography.
Oh, so Invisible Man is your autobiography. Okay.
Well, Invisible Man is the film, and my autobiography is called Feel My Pain, and that's what the film Invisible Man is based off of.
So your book can be bought now?
No, right now my book is being proofread and pressed, and hopefully, I was hoping to have it out before Christmas, but it looks like it's going to be in the spring now. So you deal with what you have to deal with, but I'm just grateful that My book will be hitting, being available online starting in the spring.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. All right. What character out of all your characters that you have betrayed is your favorite?
I mostly play bad guy role, so I think the one I enjoyed the most where I got to be silly was the one I did lottery. Onion News Network I just did. I enjoyed that. They had me talking to a bowl of potato salad. That was real funny. It was nice to just be able to unwind and do something silly instead of being so serious. But I liked the student film I did called Cash Flow. I played a gangster, and I really liked that. I was the main character, so I really enjoyed doing that.
Are you a director?
I've directed a project before, so that's something I'm looking to get back into. I definitely want to work behind the camera as well as in front of the camera. So that's always been my goal. In fact, I'm going to start taking some courses this spring for directing and producing while I'm here.
Okay. That sounds good. You continue your education and you're continuing building on your work.
Yeah.
You're enhancing yourself by going back to college, getting further training, further education. And to speak of that, there are a lot of people going back to college nowadays, especially mm-hmm. with things the way it is. People have had to more or less revamp their careers. Some
yeah.
people have, and they've had to change things around and get into other career fields. So, but you're only enhancing yours.
I'm just trying to keep myself ahead of the game.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Who was your role model growing up, male role model growing up?
Male role model has always been my father.
Your father.
Yes,
okay.
My dad's been married to my mom for 55 years. He's always loved and respected my mother. He's always been there for us. And he's my example of what a man should be.
Okay, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. It sounds like you had great role models to see what a husband and wife should be and what parents should be. I think that's wonderful.
Yes, I did.
Who is the person whom you would like to meet the most? Who is the person that you would like to meet, someone you haven't met yet? They don't necessarily have to be famous.
Oh, I would love to meet Antoine Fisher. He's been a big influence on my writing. He's been so nice. He's spoken to me via computer, but I would just love to come go out to California and meet him. I was shocked. I emailed him once and asking for advice and letting him know how much I admired his writing, his book, his film project. And I was shocked. He emailed me back and he gave me advice about what to do and how to do it. And I would really love to meet him. He's been a big influence on my writing, his story, his life story, everything. It's very inspirational to me.
Okay. Daryl Moore, listeners, we're going to go to break. We're going to take a brief break. I'm going to come back in about 2 or 3 minutes, and we're going to finish this interview.
All right.
All right, listeners, we're back. You're back listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. We had to take a little break there and come back. We have with us tonight Daryl Moore. Daryl Moore?
Yes.
Okay, I was just making sure you were still there.
All right.
You seem like a very put-together man as an actor. I was just wondering, with so much going for you, do you ever do you Do you participate in any mentoring of the youth?
It's funny you should ask that. When I was in Atlanta, I was involved with an organization called Film Atlanta. And what we try to do is help all aspiring actors, not just kids, but anyone that was interested in the film industry, whether it be as an actor or working behind the camera as a director, a producer, a writer. That's what that was our focus, bringing anybody that was interested that normally wouldn't have access to the film community. We brought them in and helped them get their career started. And a lot of parents brought their kids around who had children that were interested, and then some of them saw how happy the kids were, and they started getting involved.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, so you have to get some mentoring. Okay.
A little bit. I need to do more, and once I get established here, I plan to pick that up here as well.
Oh, okay. Well, you seem like you're on the road. Yeah, you seem like you're very much on the road, and like you're really going places and have been places, and I look forward to seeing a lot more of you, and I'm sure my listening audience does, seeing more of your work.
Well, thank you very much.
Is there anyone in particular that you would like to be in a production of film with that you haven't been able to be in a production of film with? I mean, you say you did 23 projects, 23 films and television shows and things like that.
I would love to work with Denzel Washington. I would love to work with Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, of course. And I've had the pleasure of working with Loretta Devine and Tommy Stewart. So I just have a whole long list of people that I would love to work with, but right off the top of my head, anybody I'm pretty sure would love to work with, they have a chance to work with Denzel Washington. That's just, you can't beat that, Al Pacino, people like that.
Okay. Could you say that last name again?
Al Pacino. I would love to work with him. Everybody knows him. Most people know him from being the main character of Scarface.
Oh, okay. Now I'm familiar with that. Okay. I do some acting myself when I can. I haven't been quite as fortunate as you with the acting, but I've been in some things myself, and I enjoy acting also.
Continue to do it. Don't let anybody discourage.
Don't let anyone discourage me. Okay, well, that's advice you can give to everybody.
That's
not
right.
Just me. Everybody
don't
listening.
There'll always be people telling you what you can't do. Don't pay them any attention.
Okay. What advice would you give to the youth on bullying? If they're being bullied within the school system, the youth, your young people?
That's become a big issue lately. Don't sit around and think it's going to go away. If somebody's bothering you, I don't care. Don't stop telling the teachers, your principals, your administrators. You let everybody know. Don't stop until somebody listens. You tell everyone. You keep telling the adults until you get the help that you need. You tell your family. You go home, you tell your family. You tell whoever's going to listen to your pastor. Your neighbor, whoever you have to go to get help, you go get it. And it need be, and if you can't get about it, you call the police. Don't be afraid to get help. There's no shame in getting help. If somebody's bullying you and harassing you, you have a right to go to school, walk down the street, and go wherever you want to go without somebody bothering you.
Yes, I agree.
Do not hesitate to tell somebody. Tell an adult.
Tell an adult, yes, tell somebody. Okay, what are your thoughts on the youth? I know I'm not trying to be negative about the youth because I know there are plenty of youth that are succeeding. But for those of them who are contemplating dropping out of high school, not wanting to finish high school, who are just saying, I'm not going to be able to do this, what advice would you give them?
The worst thing you would ever do in your life is to drop out of high school or drop out of school. You can't do anything without an education. You can't even work at McDonald's now without education. You have to take a simple basic math test before they'll even hire you. You got to be able to count money. You got to be able to read. You got to be able to fill out the application. If you don't have an education, how can you do that? You need to stay in school. I don't care how hard it gets. Life will be a whole lot worse if you drop out of school.
I agree, and that's good sound advice for any young people that are listening. Stay in school. Get that education. Because it's very important. When I was growing up, I'm not that old, but when I was growing up, you could get by with a high school diploma. Now you need even more than that. But at least, at the very least, get that high school diploma. If you have to, you know, get a job later, and if you have to, get a job after you graduate or whenever, but make sure you get that piece of paper.
Exactly.
Go to college, get training, and do things like that. You have to have a degree, a high school diploma, to get anything, even to work at McDonald's, just about.
Yeah, you do.
Hang in there. Okay. What is your next project, Daryl Moore?
Right now I'm focusing on this film project, getting it off the ground and getting my plan going, and I'm still doing work as my agent books me here. But my main focus right now is getting my first film project. I'm shooting a film short first part of this year, and that's what I'm working on right now, my film short.
Okay. Do you have a fan address where your fans can write?
Oh, yeah, I'm on Facebook. I'm not one of those people that's tired now. You can find me on Facebook, Daryl D. Moore. On Facebook, I'm on Twitter. You can look up, I'm at Invisible, that's INVMAN Film, and that's Invisible Man Film, that's at INV Man Film, at Feel My Pain Book. On Twitter, those are my two Twitter accounts. My email is Daryl D. Moore at MooreEntertainment.com, that's MOORE. /ENT.com. So I'm easy to get to. I'm on there. I'm on all the social networks.
Okay. All right. Well, Daryl D. Moore, we're going to conclude this interview. Listeners, you found out how to find him. Anybody looking to, find him, he's on Facebook, he's on Twitter. And I look forward to seeing you and more films, as I know my listening audience does too. I'm going to say good night, I'm going to say good night, Daryl D. Moore, and see you at the top.
All right, thank you. You have a good rest of the year. I'll be tuning in.
Thank you for tuning in, and I look forward to having you back.
I'd be honored to come back.
Thank you.
All right.
Have a happy new year.
Same to you.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, listen to the audience. We have on our live Kirk Cooter. Mr. Cooter, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. I'm here. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. Just freezing in New York, but I'm still here and stuff.
Freezing.
You know, I like to say Happy New Year to everyone out there.
Okay. Finish?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. No, I'm saying go ahead and finish.
Oh, yeah, like a Happy New Year to, the whole country and stuff like that. I was watching, the ball drop last night, getting excited for the new year and all of the things that, that can possibly come,
Okay. Kurt Cooter. Is that what you want to be called?
Yes, that's my middle name. It's always easier to remember and stuff because my full name is Kurt Robinson. But so people, they seem to forget the last name, so they start forgetting the first name. But Kurt Cooter is what, all my friends, they call me, after the Barracuda fish because they say I'm always watching things all the time. and stuff, so they gave me the nickname of Cooter.
Okay. What was your New Year's resolution?
Excuse me, can you say that again, please?
What was your New Year's resolution?
My New Year's resolution is to try to live a better life and stuff, you know, which I always say every year, you know, I try to get better and better at what I'm doing and stuff, you know, try to honor our neighbor, you know, and stuff, and, you know, just try to treat people the way they want to be treated and stuff. That's always kind of been the only resolution I could stick to and stuff, you know. And I kind of run with that every year. And every year I seem to do a little bit better.
Okay. You're the CEO of Tune Jams Incorporated. I'm very impressed by Tune Jams because the rap music that you play is for kids. And
yeah.
I just love the CD that you sent me. I'm going to give a copy of it to a cousin of mine.
Uh-huh.
And like 5 years old, 4 or 5 years old. I know he's going to love it.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's like our music, you know, like years ago, I should say maybe about 10 years ago, my little nephew, you know, who was young at the time, would ask me, he's like, Uncle Kurt, how come there's not nothing for, you know, like kids, like, you know, that have something to do with rap, something for us and stuff, you know. And so I just started creating things, you know, that could entertain them and stuff. And then, you know, maybe about 5 or 6 years ago, I started to say, okay, you know, I think I got the touch. You know, I've been creating a whole bunch of different things and stuff for, you know, for kids, you know, for kids that, like, you know, who can't relate to other, you know, cartoon characters or something like that, you know, or something that's on TV that's a little too wild that the parents won't let them watch. Everything that I do is basically comics for kids like 3 on up. You know, usually like a lot of grown-up people like the stuff that I do. They just put the one CD inside the minivan and that takes care of the kids for the whole, you know, for the whole trip and stuff. So, you know, it's like my main focus was just to have something for, you know, just something alternative, you know, for kids that love rap. You know, some kids, they can't listen to, you know, the hardcore stuff that's out there, but, you know, they just needed something for them and stuff, and that's what I've been putting together.
Okay, so that is the reason you decided to do this form, that form of rap for kids. Why the name Tune Jams?
Well, it's just, you know, it's just something that's saying hip, you know, something that's hip. You know, we want to be the new name in kids' entertainment. You know, I mean, it's like, I know we're not Disney or none of the big guys or nothing like that. You know, we're small guys and stuff, but, you know, we're doing a lot of quality stuff. And I picked the name Tune Jams and stuff because, in a simple fact, it was just something that, you know, a tune that someone could jam to. You know, I've had even jazz artists have played some of the songs off of the first CD. Schools have used a song like A Good Day. They use that for graduation. And so it really touched my heart. I was like, wow, I didn't even know it was, you know, that good enough to be a graduation song and stuff. But, you know, I just like the name because it's hip and stuff. You know, it's kind of hip. Just, you know, trying to show separation, you know, from other companies that might be out there, you know. And it's been it's hard to put together, but it's been fun at the same time.
Oh, okay. How do the kids take to your rap artists and things like that? How do the kids take to it? Do they like it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they love it. Like, the kids, like, in daycare schools and stuff like that, you know, which is, you know, most of the kids that buy the stuff, you know, they like it. They think it's, you know, they kind of think it's just made for them. You know, like if you had a rap artist or something, a Lil Wayne or somebody that came out, they just think it's like a rap group. They don't know it's someone older that's on there that's rapping just to entertain them at they, you know, at the age that they are and stuff, you know. And I've got nothing but great responses across the whole country and stuff, you know, just trying to entertain these kids the right way, you know, and just let them see it's different music you can listen to. You know, you can listen to rap without being a grown people's music, you know, or nothing too crazy out there, you know, just to make perfect little sing-alongs and stuff, you know, for families when they're traveling on the highway and stuff like that for their kids and stuff. And also with our first project, the Beatbox Bears, there's a message in there for, you know, these kids that join gangs and stuff at a young age. Well, if you look at all four of the Beatbox Bears, you know, one is wearing red, the other one's blue, you know, the other one's orange, and the other one is yellow, which is considered gang colors. You know, I'm hoping kids can suck this in at a young age that you know, these little characters are having fun together. You know, they're not fighting each other and stuff. So if they grow up older and say, oh, I want to join a gang or something, they'll remember that, you know, like back in the day, hey, the Beatbox Bears had different colors on and they got along. And stuff, you know, so I kind of, you know, embedded that little message in there.
Okay. You're trying to help stop gangs.
Yeah, you know.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Definitely.
Yes, definitely. Okay. That's good. That's real good. That's very good. Where do you get the Beatbox Bears name from?
Well, my brother, you know, that passed away in 1995, he was one of the Fat Boys in a group, Fat Boys. He passed away from walking pneumonia and stuff. And he created the Beatbox in 1977 after the blackout and stuff. And, you know, he's going on tour and got into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We're creating the Beatbox now, which is played all over the world. I have friends that have played in the Philharmonic Orchestra that play the Beatbox. And, you know, he's done things with the Sydney, Australia Orchestra and stuff, you know. And as you can see on TV, there's like Aflac commercials with frogs and stuff doing the Beatbox. And I say to myself, you know, all of this came from my one little brother back in 1977. And now, you know, I have a project, you know, that I named after him and stuff. So, you know what I'm saying? So, to keep the little party going, everybody likes to play the Beatbox, especially kids over in Europe and stuff like that. You know, they have all kinds of things. They have, you know, seminars on groups that play the Beatbox. I was just in a film was shot over in Europe that sponsored the Beatbox and stuff like that. So, you know, they asked me, so I tell them, you know, I tell them the story about my brother and stuff like that in the cartoon that I have and stuff. So, you know, just trying to keep it going, the tradition going and stuff.
I remember that rap group.
Yeah. My brother made it to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame at 28, at age 28.
Yes, he did.
You know.
Oh, wow. What role did you play?
Well, on the road, I was a road manager. I was an assistant road manager. It's like when you're out on the road with them, you didn't have one job. You had like three jobs. So I was security. I was a guy to help change the clothes and stuff on stage really quick and stuff, you know. But, you know, the main thing is, you know, the group like the Fat Boys took me around the world two times and
your
stuff, you know.
Members,
yeah.
I still have some of their music.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, we used to pass out so many flyers, T-shirts, posters and buttons. That's back in the day, you know, that's when rap was safe to go to a concert back then, and you know, within the Run DMC and all of that era and stuff. And people always say that old school rap is the best and stuff. So what I'm doing is I'm trying to just build up a whole new genre of, you know, of rap music that's for kids, you know, so that they don't grow up so wacky acting, you know, like some of them are right now. You know, as soon as they hear a crazy song comes on, they start going crazy or something. It's like, just have fun. That's what hip-hop was created from fun and stuff, you know?
Okay, how do you create the characters, and what role did Prince Marcy play in your CD?
Well, okay, I have Kool Rock from Fat Boys on the CD. I don't have Prince Marky D that's on there. I have Kool Rock, and I have a guy named Kenny Muhammad, Muhammad.
Yes, sir, and I saw Prince Marky D's name, so.
I was just, you know, giving everybody a shout-out and stuff, but I plan on being around for a while because I have so many projects that I want to put out, and, I have so many songs that I want to recreate from back in the day, which is kids' parents now will recognize, you know, from growing up from their youth and stuff like that, you know, just to make everything beautiful. Because, you know, to be truthfully honest, you know, a lot of the rap that's out now, I don't really adapt to it and stuff. You know, I don't really adapt to it and stuff. You know, there's nothing I can do to change that. But, you know, just to, you know, kind of make up my own little genre, you know, with everything that's going on out here, you know. And stuff. I would just like for rap to be fun like I was when I was growing up, you know?
Okay.
And stuff, you know? I know how it is. Like, who, you know what I'm saying? Who can ever deny the record Rapper's Delight? That was like one of the first ones that came out, you know? And everybody in the world knows that song, and it was a fun song.
Okay.
And so, you know?
So the characters in the rap group are Wiz Bear, Chill Bear, Freeze Bear, and Big Stuff Bear.
Yep. I do the voice for one of them. I do the voice for Wiz Bear and stuff. Kenny Muhammad, I gave him the voice of Big Stuff. And Kool Rock, I give him the voice of Chill. And then another cat, Keith Michael, I give him the voice of Freeze and stuff. And so all of this stuff we learned how to do, you know, on our own. You know, it's hard work. It looks like it's simple, but it's actually kind of hard work to put together and stuff. And we have more projects. We have more projects that's coming that's so kid friendly. You know, to a lot of these kids out here that they, you know, their parents, they gotta say, okay, this will be cool for my kid and stuff.
Okay.
You know.
All right. Yeah. Well, we're going to go to break. We're going to take a couple of minutes to go to break.
Okay.
All right, listeners, we're back. We're back with Kurt Cooter of 2CM's Community. I hope you're enjoying Show Talk with Angela Butler.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Kurt, do you ever go to the schools to perform?
Well, right now, there's like no schools. There's not, you know, nothing is like set up for me to do anything like that yet, but I will be doing that in the future because I have a new distribution company that I'm getting ready to do business with that'll make me even more worldwide and stuff. And, you know, I'm still doing the paperwork for that and stuff. But once I get on the road, I'm going to try to hit as many schools and, you know, day schools and, you know, little hospitals and stuff to visit kids and stuff as much as I can. And stuff, you know, that's just in the future, just a little bit in the future, that's all.
Okay. All right. What do you think of hip-hop or rap in this day and age? The hip-hop or either rap. What do you think of it? Think so much. All of it is not bad, you know, but what do you think of rap? What do you think of hip-hop?
Right now, Do
you have any favorite artists?
Yeah, I got some of the stuff that I got. Some of the stuff that I like, but you know, it seems like all the time it's, when there's something I like, it's always somebody that's very weird looking. That you know, you wouldn't even want to walk down the street with, you know, that's performing the song or something like that, you know. But it's people. I hate to call out any names or anything. But, you know, I'm going to say for, like, it's a female rapper that's out here, you know, that with all of the hair changes and all of this wild stuff that she be wearing, you know, little girls and stuff be looking up to that, you know, and that's not right for them to come out looking like that, you know.
Okay.
It just don't look right, or, you know, some of the stuff like these guys they wear, you know, they're wearing the little leopard leotard things. And with their pants hanging off and stuff. You know, I'm like, come on now, that's not hip hop. You know?
Okay. Do you think the kids need more of your type of music or rap? Are you going to be putting more of it out?
Yes. Yes, ma'am. I have a second project that's coming out called Rapasaurus. I plan on having that out this year. And stuff sometime towards the end of this year. And stuff. And then after that, you know, it's constant things that I have out. I'm just trying to build, you know, just build the whole product, you know, and stuff. And I'm careful about how I do it because I get a lot of input from teachers that run day schools and stuff like that. You know, I'll send stuff out before I even put it out, just okay. to get their feedback and stuff, you know, because I want to make sure it's right for their kids, you know.
Oh, okay. You must love kids to have created Toon Jams Incorporated and to have put out a CD.
Yeah, I love kids. I love kids to death. You know, I don't have any kids of my own personally, but I have a lot of nieces and nephews and godchildren and stuff like that. I don't even have time to have kids. It's like they're right there all the time and stuff. So, you know, they all call me Uncle Kurt. And stuff like that, you know. And they all throw stuff down in my Suburban when I take them out for some ice cream or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
I'm looking at the CD now. And I've enjoyed listening to it, as I had said earlier.
Thank you.
Go out and buy the CD for the children.
It's a pretty good CD. You know, it's very colorful. You know, very colorful, and you know, it's just an alternative. You know, to you know what else is out there. You know, it's just an alternative to it. You know,
I particularly like number 9 on the CD where it says. I guess I'm kind of like a little kid here. all the artists do a dance with the beatbox.
It was one time they played that at a day school. There's some these little kids, they're always doing their little different dances that they did. You know, it kind of made me feel good, you know, on the inside. I'm glad that they liked it, you know, and stuff. And they like the songs like Jump Around and stuff like that. You know, it's like my work is going to be built around, you know, these kids doing some exercises too at the same time, you know.
Oh, so you're trying to keep kids healthy also with the music. Keep kids overweight. Okay, I understand.
It's all kinds of messages, you know, that's in the music, you know. It's like jump around, jump around. And stuff, you know, kids will hop around a little bit and stuff like that. You know, it's just fun music. You know, for the first CD, I didn't really want to do too much educational because everything else is educational and stuff. You know, but I just wanted them to have, you know, when it's their break time or if they're having a class party or something, or if they want to do a little exercise or something for them to do it to, you know. It's just something for them to do it to, you know?
All right. Well, I understand you have a passion for that.
Yes.
And I believe you're doing a great thing, as I'm sure my listeners agree, that you are doing a really great thing.
Thank you.
So you said you have yet to go to the schools to perform. Okay.
Well, yeah.
Can the listeners go to buy the CD?
Oh, well, we're on Amazon and all of the rest of the music outlets and stuff like that. We have our site, beatboxbears.com. We also have our company site, tunejams.com, and stuff. So it's like either way you can hit a connection. If you want to pick up the CD or listen to samples of the CD, just go to beatboxbears.com. You can listen to the sample, and if you decide to buy it, you just hit the button down at the bottom, and it takes you right to Amazon and stuff. And so it's fairly easy to get to and stuff. It's like I say, we're new and stuff, but we're just trying to do our thing,
Yeah, you're trying to do your thing. And also, I like what you are doing with the exercise, because you help fight obesity in kids. Because I've been a size 14. I was a size 14 in like the 8th and 9th grade. And I've always had a lot of weight, and now I'm a diabetic. So what you are doing is a good thing. I went all the way up to 325 pounds, and now I've lost like 125 plus pounds. So it's a very good thing. You're helping them from having health complications if their parents will allow them to listen to your CD and things like that. I also was looking at Fat Boys growing up.
I miss my brother all the time. And just yesterday, when I was sitting around with the family, the show came on Unsung. I did an episode of Unsung, and it's on the Fat Boys. Yeah, so I watched myself on TV on New Year's Day. So that was kind of crazy.
You and your family are very talented family, very talented brother, and you're talented yourself, and, it's just wonderful.
Thank you so much, Angela. Thank you. And stuff, I'll always try to keep, everybody posted through my Facebook or whatever. Oh, my website, and what's going on. It's like I'm a small company, not a rich company yet and stuff, but, I'm just trying to make the best quality I can make, and stuff for these kids out here today,
All right. So there are 12 songs on the CD. I'm sorry I could not play the CD for the listening audience. I apologize for that. And we tell the listening audience again where they can go and listen and find your CD.
Yeah, well, you can go to tunejams.com. You can listen to it. We have the virtual boombox that's on there and stuff. You can go there, or you can either go to Tune Jams Inc. Or either you can go to Amazon.com and listen to it. And stuff, buy it. I appreciate you. We're just trying to move on up and stuff, trying to make some things happen and stuff. Sooner or later, we'll, start putting out merchandising for clothes and stuff and T-shirts and stuff for the kids, with some positive meanings on it and stuff,
Meaning to it. Oh, okay, positive meaning. Okay, that will be good. I'll be one of those who will be looking for that.
Oh, no question.
You said there was another CD in the making?
Yep.
Since you have, what's the name of that CD?
The next one that's going to be coming out is called the Rapasaurus. It's a solar-powered robot. It's a solar-powered robot that's actually a professor and stuff. And he can speak in different languages and stuff. And then he shows people different cultures and stuff. Like maybe there might be a different culture of how someone dances or somehow how someone eats or something like that. He'll basically show them. And stuff, you know, just light little stuff, you know, nothing really big, just light stuff, you know, like main stuff, you know, like maybe he might show someone how to say two or three words in Spanish. That's important and stuff, you know. Yeah, but that'll be out sometime this year.
Also, there'll be some Spanish on the CD. Okay, all right. Wrapped in another language also?
Well, we haven't. Someone suggested that, but I've known from personal experience, like if you go to Germany and you got a rap song that's in Germany and you didn't transfer it over to German, the German people, they know every word of the song. Now, they can't speak English, but they know how the whole song goes in English and stuff, but they never know how to speak it in German. But they know it. They know how the original song goes, you know. So I kind of want to keep it, you know, one way.
On the show, I'm going to have to close the show. And it was nice having Daryl Moore on the show and Kurt Cooter. I hope you both come back to the show. Happy New Year. This has been the best of Angela Butler, my guest, and I have informed, entertained, and hopefully enlightened you. So see you next time at the top. Have a good night, everyone. Thank you, Kurt Cooter.
Good night.
Good night.